So what's the material of it?
It's acrylic, plexiglass.
Wow.
Yeah, and it is 7 inches thick. It weighs about 80 pounds. And when we go to the Titanic, it will squeeze in about 3/4 of an inch. It just deforms. Acrylic's great because it squeezes in, and before it cracks or fails, it starts to crackle. And so you get a huge warning if it's going to fail.
Dive! Rig for deep submergence.
Make your depth 6'2".
6'2", aye. 7, down 6'2". Full ahead, 2/3. Blow negative to the mark.
Hey boys, down we go.
And good morning, one and all. Tis I, Rabbi Dave.
And I, Friar Rod. But is it really a good morning, Dave?
Not so far, no. As you can tell in my voice, I am unwell.
This might be a short episode.
I don't know about that. I got a lot to say. But
yeah.
I may not be back on Monday for my own show. I don't know what happened. We had a parade yesterday.
Yeah.
In Port Orchard, and it's actually a really, it's a good parade. It's not long. It's only about a mile and a third long. It only takes an hour to actually do the parade, but their setup for this thing is so, the parade starts at 6. They want you there at 2.
In the morning or in the afternoon?
In the afternoon.
Okay, so it's an afternoon evening.
Yeah, so it literally takes us about a half hour to set up the float. And then what?
Yeah.
And then we just sit there.
Sit there. Drink some coffee.
4 hours. Coffee my ass. Drinking Wyoming whiskey is what we were drinking, which is a bad idea. But at any rate, so last year's parade, the same parade, it was 95 degrees and about 100% humidity, and people were just dying.
That's brutal.
This year, at least it was only 70. The humidity was not bad, and we were in the shade, so.
Yeah, well.
But what you got here, Rod, are a bunch of submarine-qualified veterans and a bunch of people walking by who want to ask questions, Rod, about, come on, take a guess what they want to ask us about.
I'm guessing the, what is it? Maybe the recent news, the Titanic thingy.
Yes, the Titan.
What was it? Yeah.
The Titan.
That is no more.
There's a couple of schools of thought here. One is that, quote, we should not be making fun of this. Lives were lost. How can you guys be so flippant about this? Or as my favorite meme says, I don't understand how people can sink so low.
That's a good one. I look at it. These people entered in knowing the risk. They may not have known how bad the idea actually was, because they were sold something, but they were also told. I know that I had heard or read that their liability documentation they have to sign says that at least 3 times on the first page,
the first
the different
of three
ways
pages,
you can die.
Right.
Yeah.
So, with the exception of the 19-year-old who did not want to go.
Yes.
Who made it clear that he did not want to go, but his father said, hey, it's Father's Day. It's Father's Day, Henry. It's Father's Day. Okay. So, he said, okay, Dad, for you, sorry, I will go. And go he did.
Mm-hmm.
So, with the exception of him, I got to be honest with you. I have no problem making fun of this at all.
Well, but he was 19, though. Yeah, I mean, he's an adult.
If you're one of those people that gets upset because I'm going to laugh about this, then you're going to want to stop the show right now and move on, because I have zero sympathy for these people.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not, excuse me, not trying to brag here, but I have the receipts. I have the text messages with the time stamps. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at what's going on before we knew that the Navy already knew.
Sure.
There was a picture posted by Josh Gates. Now, I like Josh Gates. I love Expedition Unknown. It's one of my favorite shows. I have 10 seasons of it recorded. Used to like to watch it with my dad. Mm-hmm. Because in addition to places around the world, he would go places in the United States that we had been. Mm-hmm. And so we would have conversations about that. Was there a picture of Josh Gates sitting in this submersible.
And there's a distinction.
And there is a distinction, but for our purposes here, it's not worth worrying about.
Sure.
This picture immediately. So this would have been Sunday morning. When did I send that to you guys?
I'm going to have to go back and look for the date timestamps.
I said to myself.
You were freaking out.
I said, my exact words were, and again, if you're offended by sailor language, you're not going to like this. But so I sent this to them. Well, it says 9:13 a.m. It doesn't say what day. I'm pretty sure it was Sunday or Monday. It was before we knew. It was before we knew that the Navy knew. And I said, my exact word was, holy fuck, see if you notice what I notice in this picture. Now, this picture is smiling Josh Gates, some dude I have no idea who is, and Stockton Rush is all the way in the back.
Sure.
And I looked at this picture, and I said to myself, all this stuff that is coming out about the Titan, and Stockton Rush, and Ocean Gate, which still pisses me off, because Ocean Gate, again, I've met these people. I've got their cards on my desk.
They're based out of Washington, right?
They're based out of Everett. They have personally invited me to come and volunteer with them. They have come to my sub-vet meetings and made presentations about what they do. They study sharks here in the Puget Sound with their other submersible, Cyclops, which is spherical, not conical or tubular. I said to myself of this picture, there is no way in hell that he was that stupid. But now it's come out that not only was he that stupid, he was even stupider, because I circled this picture. I sent this to Bill and Rod, and I said, see if you see what I see. And of course, Rod's response was, I'm not seeing it. What are you looking at? So I sent it back, zoomed in with a big yellow circle around the camera mount that is drilled into the fucking pressure hull overhead. And I thought to myself, surely he wouldn't be stupid enough to drill a hole in the pressure hull to hang a camera mount from. I thought, there's no way he could possibly be that stupid.
And then we come to find out his hiring requirements.
Then we come to find out that unseen in the picture are all the computers that are also mounted in here, the video monitors and all the stuff, that are also screwed into the pressure hull with 1-inch long screws into the pressure hull. Meaning that a ship that he intended to take down to 12,400 feet has holes drilled in the pressure hull.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, he can't possibly be that stupid. And then I found out that he doesn't hire 50-year-old white guys, former military types, former military. What?
Please dial emergency services directly from your phone. Otherwise, I can help you with specific questions. So how to connect to Bluetooth.
Alexa is concerned about me. I'm not sure what's going on there. Maybe it thinks I'm having a stroke. I don't know. Anyway. We find out that he doesn't hire 50-year-old white guys who are qualified in submariners because we are, quote, not inspirational, unquote.
Yes. They told him not to screw things on the inside of the submersible.
First thing we would have said.
Submersible.
You know, it's a really bad idea to put holes in the pressure hull.
Yeah.
Because you see what happens, for those of you not keeping up. Theoretically, you have this pressure hull and it takes pressure. Well, mm-hmm. as you go further down, that hull is going to compress. It's going to go. And if you string a string across the hull at the surface, mm-hmm. nice and tight so that the string goes across the, as you go deeper, that string will begin to sag.
Yeah.
And it will freak you out. There's a great scene of that in Down Periscope.
did you guys do that when you were?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Sure.
Where Howard, Chief Howard looks at the nub and he goes, down we go. As the string begins to, and it's awesome. This is great. Now I will tell you that on a 726 class submarine, Ohio class submarine, a brand new Ohio class submarine, didn't happen as much as it would happen on some of the other boats.
Sure.
But I would imagine by now it probably happens quite well. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, the pressure hull needs to be intact. It needs to be perfect.
Have no defects.
It needs to have no defects, like holes drilled in it to hold computer monitors.
Now, Dave, stop being uninspirational.
You know,
you're breaking the moment, man.
50-year-old white guys, which, by the way, we're not. I mean, yeah. A, I'm 60 years old, so neener, neener, neener. But number two, there are women qualified submarines now, and mm-hmm. there's every race you can imagine qualified submarines now. Mm-hmm. So it could have gone to other countries and hired submariners from there. Yeah. But he didn't. And here's the really dumb part about this whole thing is that he told everybody when I saw the interview, and this is actual audio of him mm-hmm. saying that when I get finished with this design, it will be impregnable. I thought to myself, do you remember those headlines in 1912? Mm-hmm. Now, the people that built it never said this, but the press did. God himself could not sink this ship.
Yeah, that's hubris, waiting for something bad to happen.
I'm still not clear. And I'm... It's very... There's a lot of fuzziness here about this guy in this company that's bothering me. Hmm. Supposedly, this was their third trip to Titanic.
In this vessel.
I'm not convinced of that. I think this was their first of three scheduled trips. Hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. I had heard that this was not the first trip for this particular vessel.
It's not the first trip. No, this submarine has been down deep before, not to Titanic before.
Yeah.
In fact, Rush himself took it on the initial dive by himself, which, okay, mm-hmm. good. I mean,
you eat your own dog food.
Right.
I mean, that's basically that.
But I can't find where they went to other trips to the Titanic. But I do know that based on their promotional materials, they had scheduled three trips to the Titanic. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a bummer when you find out that the $250,000 you're paying is just for a one way. It's not a round trip ticket, but
yeah, that is tragic.
So
let's talk about this. So in airplane travel, you know, you get frequent flyer miles. Is it for you know, submersibles and submarines? Are they what are they? Frequent flyer leaks.
Underwater miles? Yeah. I don't know.
Meters?
I know there's a tattoo that you get for every 100,000 miles or something that you sail on the ocean.
Okay.
I think it's a bluebird, but don't quote me on that because I have no tattoos. So, nor do I intend to get any. Which makes me a 50-year-old uninspirational white guy, I know. But
yeah.
But there you go.
You need a piercing and a tattoo, Dave.
Yeah.
Arr.
See, if you're a crew member of the Titan, now you can get your ear pierced because that's the ear piercing indicates you survived a sink, but you didn't survive. So, which brings me back to my original point, which is that a lot of people are upset about the fact that we're laughing at this. I mean, there are people on our submarine boards that are getting indignant. How dare you make fun of these people? Well, what the hell else are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
I mean, this is how we deal with things. We deal with them with humor.
it was an accident waiting to happen. It was just a matter of time.
It wasn't an accident. Sorry. No. See, I don't believe that when you drill holes in a pressure hole, that what happens to the pressure hole is an accident.
That's negligence at that point.
But I also believe that we deal with things with dark humor. It was September 12th, 2001, when I heard this joke. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Why didn't Superman save the towers?
I don't know.
Because he's quadriplegic.
Oh.
This is how we deal with tragedy, with dark humor. And submariners are perhaps... I wouldn't say we're the ultimate dark humor people, but we're definitely in the top two. There is nobody that has dark humor the way submariners do. And believe me, the conversation yesterday in that 2 hours waiting for the parade to start while consuming an entire flask of Wyoming whiskey, the dark humor was thick. And woe be unto to anybody who walked by asking us our legitimate opinion about what happened, because our legitimate opinion about what happened was this guy was just stupid. And we have a saying in the Navy, nuclear Navy, attributed to Admiral Hyman Rickover, and it goes like this: the stupid shall be punished.
Yes.
Including getting squished or burned or whatever, and 12,300 feet. And
that freaks you out.
It does freak me out. What happened to them, the physicality of what happened to them doesn't bother me. It's the fact that they never knew what happened. This whole thing, and this is life and death in general. I don't like the idea that 1 second you're here and the next you're not.
Okay.
And that freaks me out. And I'm not sure... You know, we had a long discussion about this. If you got to go, is this the way to go? Or do you want to go like the space shuttle where you fall 7 miles, you know, and you know what's going on the whole way?
Yeah, that I don't want to know that.
Do you want to die slow? Do you want to die fast? Do you want to
Be at the nuke center, or do you want to die from the fallout later on?
Right. These are all questions. But I have a serious issue with this. 1 second you know, 1 second you don't. Now, and these guys... They didn't know it was coming. People like on the Thresher or the Scorpion, they knew it was coming. So there's a little bit of difference there. But the physics of how this happens, and I'm not a scientist, don't even play one on TV, nor did I stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I'm telling you what I know as a qualified submariner.
The physics, uninspired.
Right. 50-year-old. Because technically I'm still 59. So, when the hull collapses... It will collapse faster than the human mind can actually. It's something like 25 milliseconds to perceive something happening. And the whole collapse happens in less than 2 milliseconds.
Yeah.
So you boom, boom, gone. And it's not even that fast. It's faster than that.
Yeah.
Okay. And what happens is, because the air inside gets compressed almost instantaneously. So it does what's known as a dieseling effect. When you compress air, this is how a diesel engine works. When you compress the air, it ignites. Boom. Well, before you can even comprehend it, the bodies have been burned to ash. I mean, you've been vaporized.
Yeah.
And then the water pressure comes in as it explodes, and whatever is left is... This is why they never find the bodies of... these things, or even their clothes or anything else, because it's all been burned to a crisp. Unlike the Titanic, which sank, flooded as it went down, so you didn't get smashing. So the physics of it doesn't bother me, the instantaneousness of it. And it doesn't matter. I mean, to me, it's like there's a great scene in a Tom Clancy novel where a character passes away. But this character has spent years talking to his dead comrades. Okay, so he's always talking to his comrades. And the line in the book is, this time it seemed real. And a moment later, he knew why. And I'm like, that line just creeps me the F out. And this whole thing just creeps me the F out. Because, again, I don't know what you believe about what happens to you when you die, but it's like, well, you know, and then there's this whole thing about, well, the sea will give up its dead. Well, there ain't nothing left to give up here, bud. This, it's gone. It's vaporized.
Yeah.
You know, well,
there's,
so
yeah, there's carbon.
It's been reabsorbed into the ocean.
Huh?
I don't know, man. It just creeps me out. And the way we deal with that is dark humor. Right. Alexa, play Air Supply. Oh, shit. Now it's going to play Air Supply. Shuffling songs by Air Supply. Alexa, stop. You know, the one that everybody was saying yesterday is, keep scrolling. We need to go up.
Jeez.
I don't know, though, man. I live in the 21st century. How could someone make these many mistakes? See, this is the thing we keep telling ourselves. Well, these people are geniuses. It's the 21st century. Nothing can go wrong. Trust the science.
Well,
we say over and over again.
Science is a big deal, right? Because, you know, we always hear trust the science, but science is also testing and
engineering.
Engineering, constantly testing and not stress testing.
Not drilling screw holes into pressure holes.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of the pressure hole, maybe that would have worked had they not screwed the screws into it.
Oh,
I mean,
it wouldn't have worked anyway.
No. Well, no, because they had two different materials.
The composite materials. They had the carbon fiber.
Yeah.
And they glued the titanium spheres cut in half onto each end of it.
What the hell? I didn't hear that.
13-inch window.
Yeah, I heard about the window. Was not to spec.
It couldn't have been. 13 inches is too big of a window to go to 12. Most of those windows are 5 inches and less.
Yeah.
Which is why they use cameras, because you can't really see anything.
Mm-hmm.
13 inches. Probably rated to 1,300 meters as opposed to 4,000 meters. And everybody's shocked when this happens. I get, to me, the only shock is this didn't happen on the first dive when he took it down himself.
Yeah.
Which, of course, would have been poetic justice, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of like climbing into a steam-powered rocket to prove that the Earth is flat. Something's flat here.
Yeah.
It's not the Earth. So, anyway, I don't know.
I hear those cries.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't know where we are on all this. I know that my tendency is to make fun of this, not because I'm having a hard time dealing with it. I'm not. But no.
Well, the company's going to go under.
Yeah.
You know, there's talk about actual federal crimes.
Yeah. Well, right? The website's shut down. Everything is.
Yeah, they're done.
Yeah, which is sad because, again, they were doing great research up here with the sharks, with the Cyclops.
Well, they should have spun off that part of the company that's doing the sightseeing tours.
Well, yeah, but see, this comes back to this kind of stuff, which is, how do you pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough people in the world to just give you, you know, $10, $15 donations here and there, like I did.
This is partly your fault, Dave.
No. I gave money to shark research. I don't understand why anybody goes to the Titanic. There's a part of me that says, why would you do this? Because, see, this comes back to the argument, robots versus humans.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really need to go to the Titanic anymore? They released this, oddly enough, they released this a week ago.
Right, the three-dimensional rendering where you can see everything.
You don't need to go to the Titanic to see it. So, is it better to send robots or human beings? And again, this wasn't exploration. This wasn't people going down there to discover something new. This was sightseeing at a cemetery, which, again, I don't have an issue with because I do that too. But man, I just... hey, sign on my submarine. It's a 3-page waiver. What good's that going to do when they find out that you drilled holes in the fucking pressure hull?
Yeah, and that liability right there. Bam.
That's just not that. You know, when I went skydiving, and I told everybody on this on my show the other day, negligence is defined as failure to use due caution. Therefore, jumping out of an airplane is definitely negligent. Mm-hmm. So if you die, you can't sue us for negligence.
Because you don't have to jump.
That has been seared into my mind since 1985.
Yeah.
And so if I do something stupid and I die doing something stupid, feel free to laugh. It's not going to bother me because 1 millisecond I was awake, the next one I wasn't.
Yeah.
But I just, ugh.
The next one, your soul was standing there in the middle of the water wondering, what the hell just happened?
And of course, then all the questions start. Well, how deep can you go? How deep, Navy submarines do not go 12,400 feet deep. I can't tell you how deep they go.
They don't need to go that deep.
All I can say is, in my time, we could say in excess of 400 feet faster than 20 knots. That's all we could say. Mm-hmm. Now, I am told that today they can say 800 feet and 30 knots, but I'm not authorized to say that. Nothing in my training gave me permission to say that. Somebody asked me how deep that I'd go, and I said, I can't tell you. Deep enough that the string was bent, I can tell you that, on a brand new Trident. And it was an experience, man. It's like being in an elevator, three-dimensional elevator.
Yeah.
But nothing moves, because everything is mounted. Even your coffee cup is mounted. It's in what we call a ZARF, Z-A-R-F, Zero Angle Retention Facility.
Okay.
ZARF. So your coffee cup sits in that. So your eyes are telling you that nothing's moving, but your inner ear is telling you everything is moving.
Sure.
And it's like, it's a little creepy.
Do you ever get used to the creaks and the moans or the
I did. The boat? Doesn't bother me. And and like all sailors, you learn to anticipate the motion of the ship.
Sure.
So you know that if it rolls left, it's going to roll back right.
Yeah.
And sometimes when it rolls left, port, and it keeps going, and you're like, is this ever going to stop? Oh, there it goes. You know, that kind of, like when you're on the surface in a hurricane, and
yeah,
that was kind of cool. That was a fun night. We thought we were 400 miles from the hurricane, because kids, back in the 80s, communication and satellites weren't all that accurate.
No.
So we had this weather report that said we're 400 miles from the hurricane. So the captain says, we're going to scram the reactor and do a slow recovery drill. It takes 4 hours-ish. Mm-hmm. You shut the reactor down so you have no power, and then you start it up again. But that means you got to come up to periscope depth, which I'm not also not going to tell you what it is, and you're going to snorkel so you can run the diesel, which will charge the batteries, which will run the electrical system, so you can do this. So we get to the periscope depth and quickly discover that we are not 400 miles from the hurricane. We are smack dab in the middle of the
game. With no power.
That ship was doing. It was great. It was absolutely great. And I'm blessed. The only time I've ever been seasick in my life was on the Liberty launch in Pearl Harbor. Okay. And that was the morning after the night of my 21st birthday party. So I'm not really sure that I was seasick.
It was probably a combination of things.
But it was so
I had a similar experience the very first time I was drunk in Hawaii on a catamaran tour of Pearl Harbor.
Yep. And Pearl Harbor is a harbor. It's not 2 or 3 inch waves.
I wasn't waving at all, but I was, man. I was regretting it.
The cruise lounge sits outboard on the port side on the third level. Mm-hmm. So you got the curvature of the hull. The table backs up against the curve of the hull, right? And the seats sit in here. But you can't get in and out in a hurry.
Sure.
So all the people who are really sick are sitting outboard in the cruise lounge, and they've got saltine crackers everywhere, and they're all got their heads down going, oh, every time the ship's rolling. Todd McCary, that's sick son of a gun. He goes and gets a bunch of oatmeal and milk and raisins.
Oh, this is not going anywhere good.
Shoves them in his mouth and goes back to the cruise lounge, and I just happen to be walking by. And I saw him go in there, and I'm like, what's he up to? But I walked in, and he's standing against the missile tube, which is in the inboard, so he's facing these guys outboard. And every time the ship rolls, he goes, and I'm looking at him, and you can look at somebody in the eyes and tell if they're really sick or not. He's not sick. He's laughing. Todd, what the hell are you doing? And he waits. Till the ship takes one of these huge rolls to port. So all these guys are now below him.
Sure.
Okay, he's up like this, they're below him. And he goes, boosh, blows the stuff all over them. And it was like this sympathetic detonation from one end to the other. Todd, you sick son of a gun. I still laugh with him about that because it was one of the, it was awesome.
Who had to clean that?
They do. If you throw up, you clean it up. They do.
But Todd started, so he had to help.
I don't think he did. We would send people to the forward bilge underneath the diesel engine up forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd tell them, because it's down in this bilge and it has this grate on top, so you can close the grate. And we tell them, if you're not feeling good, go sit in the bilge and watch the water slosh back and forth. It'll help calm you down. And then we'd stand up there and time them and not let them out. That's what I'm saying, people. We're sick. We deal with things with dark humor. So when the Titan goes down, we don't have any problem using dark humor. And yes, it's probably a psychological defense mechanism because I still have nightmares about things that happened. But at the same time, at least now I can laugh about most of it. And this guy has given us, I'm sorry, I hate to be the one to be rude, but this guy has given us lots of reasons to laugh.
Yeah.
Because, and I say this with love, and I mean it from the bottom of my colon, he was stupid. And the stupid shall be punished. I'm Dave.
I'm Rod.
And I want to tell you a fantastical story. I have an idea for a novel / screenplay.
Inspirational one, huh?
Well, it can't be inspirational because I'm a 50-year-old white guy. Suddenly qualified. And so there you go. So it's about this dictatorial, insane leader.
Mm-hmm.
Who can't trust his own army.
Yeah.
And so he builds his own private army.
Yeah.
And to build this own private army, he hires people that are of, how do I say this politely, low quality when it comes to morals and values and that sort of thing. They're criminals.
Yeah.
Murderers, thieves, rapists. But in order to get out of prison, they sign on and they form his private little army that he uses.
Okay.
And over the course of his career, which is many years long, as this evil, tyrannical leader, he sends this private army all around the world,
mm-hmm.
where they prove to be very effective as a combat organization.
Yes.
Because they got nothing to lose. And in fact, many people say they're better than his own army, his real army.
Yeah.
Which, of course, pisses off the real army.
Well, and then you can see the real army people as they retire out. Hey, they can go do the private stuff.
Right.
With this other guy.
4 or 5 times what they were used to be making. And all you got to do is go commit a crime, get arrested, and volunteer for the... It's easy. So there comes a day where this tyrannical leader finds himself engaged in a massive war against his enemy. And he thinks to himself, well, I need to send my private army because my regular army, let's face it, sucks.
Yeah.
They can't get anything done.
No.
So he sends his private army in. And not only are they effective, but they actually deliver him a few victories and things are going well. But there's a problem. And that problem is they are mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
They are not loyal to anything except money. Now, in a completely unrelated incident that has nothing to do with anything, the country that he's at war with has a big ally. And remember, this is all fictional. None of this actually happened. And that big ally keeps sending his enemy weapons, aid, training, money. And as controversy begins to rage in the allied country about whether we should keep doing this or not, in fact, it becomes such an intense argument that the leaders of the country that has been invaded are now all over world TV saying, you've got to keep helping us. We've got to win this. So the big country that's allied makes an announcement. It seems like an innocuous announcement. It seems like it's not that important. Hey, we just found, let's just call it $7 billion that we sent them, but we didn't send it to them, but we owe them $7 billion.
Yeah.
That we promised them, but we never sent. And the next day, the private army says, you know what, we're tired of this, and we're going to have a revolt. And they get in their trucks and their tanks and their armored fighting vehicles, and they start driving towards the Capitol.
Did they stop by the ATM first?
Well, maybe. They start driving towards the Capitol. We're gonna punish the people that did something to us, whoever that might be. And, of course, everybody in the allied country is going, hey, they're going to take out the bad leader.
Yeah.
And Twitter and social media become alive with suddenly experts about everything that's going on over there. Just like they're the day before.
They were giddy experts, yes, yes. Right?
Just like the day before, they were full of submarine experts.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all went to bed. We got up the next morning, and the mercenaries had gone home.
Yeah.
They just said, oh, we're done. Bye.
Yeah. And they're still popular, though, with the the people, right?
And so I'm trying to figure out what the plot line should be. Should the plot line be...
Not only that, now the leader of the mercenaries is gone into exile.
Right. With lots of money.
I'm sure with lots of money.
So here's the question. Should the plot line be that they just had a change of heart and they just said, you know what, it's not worth it? Or should the plot line, this, by the way, after they captured a base that had nuclear weapons on it from the real army that
is
completely incompetent. So should the plot line be that they just had a change of heart and went home? Or should the plot line be that the evil leader was in on the whole thing to begin with and they split this? They split the $7 billion that was promised to the allied country.
That could be.
That somehow or another made its way to the mercenaries to get them to change sides because they're a bot army.
Yeah, I'm thinking there was a change of money somewhere because it all happened so fast.
I don't know what the plot line should be. It's all hypothetical.
Yeah.
I can't prove any of this. I can prove that a guy drilled holes into a pressure hole, but I can't prove that. That any of this happened. I don't know, man. I'm like, this is right after Zelensky came out and told us that if we didn't fund his war, we're going to have to fight it for him.
Yeah, I don't think it works that way.
I don't know. I'm a little... Look, I think I'm well on record as saying I don't think there's anything in Ukraine worth fighting for. Hmm. It's a corrupt shithole. I mean, it really is. And if... It's not like these people are freedom fighters and they want to emulate the United States and become a Republican democracy standing for liberty. And all. It's not what they are.
Hmm.
They're Eastern European lunatics who just want to have their own lunatics in charge, not Putin. So I've never really been a fan of this war to begin with. Particularly when you consider the political implications of which president was getting money from, which president's son was getting money from home.
Yeah.
Which makes it look like the whole reason we're fighting or supporting this is to keep that from coming out.
Could be.
But I'm really questioning $6.9 billion accounting error.
Yeah, can you believe that?
And the next day.
And the accountants will not be fired either.
Of course not. Why would they be?
They're heroes now. They found it.
Right. And they almost funded a revolution in Russia.
Yeah. Putin's heroes.
Nobody's saying this mercenary army drove all the way to Moscow and nobody stopped them. But I'm supposed to be afraid of the Russian army.
Yeah, I saw that they had also shot down some...
six helicopters or something.
Yeah, but killed about 39 pilots, yeah. Something like that.
Like, well...
But then they claimed they didn't want to spill more Russian blood, right, so I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, you gotta have some reason, right?
I guess, yeah.
Well, we got our money, so we're just going to go over here to Belarus and hang out, which is, you know, also the Soviet Union, so...
Sure.
We'll be right at home. And oh, by the way... Now we're working for this guy over here, so
you'll,
we're still
you'll,
here.
Yeah, you'll know, you'll really know if it was a true rebellion, because even though the guy's in exile, he'll end up poisoned somewhere if it was a true rebellion. If he stays alive, it was planned.
Or they could say to him, hey, we're taking a voyage to the Titanic. Do you want to go? And he'll say, why, of course, because everybody wants to go to the Titanic. Pop.
Back to What the Frock. We are now entering that wonderful time where we talk about the news, Dave, and what says more about the news than science? We love science here. We are such proponents of science that it's incredible. And in fact, today's story from my half of the woods, we have a Harvard scholar who studies honesty. You know, what could be more important than studying honesty? Because you know, we really need to know how people are honest and doing things. But
not what theologians do.
Yeah, yeah. Alas, this Harvard scholar who studies honesty is now accused of fabricating findings. So if you can't trust science, Dave, who can you trust?
Nobody.
Yeah. So, yeah, see here. It's not exciting. It's not like a normal WTF. I just found it funny that we have this, having worked at a university and knowing professors and how they do things, that we have a professor here at Harvard, no less, reporting that basically they fabricated the findings.
Well, you know, somebody fabricated a hull out of carbon fiber and then drilled holes in it. So why are we surprised?
Inspirationally so.
Yeah. So some years ago, I don't even know how long this has been. It's been 2 years since WAP came out.
Song maybe a year and a half, 2 years, something like that.
WAP was a great tune because it was terrible. The video was atrocious. I mean, take all of the what it's about out of it. Yeah. It was just bad.
I never watched it.
But
I
what
never
was great about it was that it got conservatives just absolutely flapping their gums about something that absolutely didn't matter to anybody.
Sure.
Except them. But the singer who sang, quote unquote, sang... this song, mm-hmm. A gal by the name of Cardi B, who has an album out, her latest album, I'm not making this up, is called Invasion of Privacy.
Hmm.
And I assume, because I haven't listened to it, so I don't know, but I assume that the album is all about how, you know, privacy gets invaded and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I assume it's a social commentary on that sort of thing.
About TMZ?
Might be. I don't know. I don't.
Paparazzi.
I'm not going to buy the album, although technically I have both Spotify and Apple Music, so I guess I could download it, but I can't emphasize this enough. I just don't care. But I do find it interesting that Cardi B has an album called Invasion of Privacy, which would imply that she is against the invasion of privacy.
You would think.
So if I don't want to invade your privacy, how do I do that? I just ignore you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pay any attention to what you're doing.
You don't write a song about it.
Don't write a song about it, like Taylor Swift has written hundreds of songs about dumping guys, but not one song about bringing a guy a sandwich and a beer.
Yeah, what the heck?
Coincidence? I think not.
Send your hate mail to WTF at whatthefrock.org.
So in the midst of the Titan incident, which, by the way, was not the original name of the vehicle, right? You know that. The original name was Cyclops II. But when they decided they were going to go to the Titanic, they decided to rename it Titan.
Okay, well.
Which is the name of the ship in the novel that was written years before the Titanic. Mm-hmm. About a great liner on its maiden voyage that hit an iceberg and sank in the middle of the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Not, you can't make this stuff up, folks. You can't.
So life in the middle does of all imitate this, art.
In the middle of all this, the stepson of the billionaire Hamish Harding. Now, is that the guy who took his son?
No.
I'm confused. Okay, so it's the other guy. So he has a stepson.
He was Pakistani, I believe. Okay.
And he decides that his father is missing on the Titan expedition. Mm-hmm. This is the time to go to a Blink 182 concert.
Well, but didn't he appeal for prayers first? Like prayers, yo. Prayers.
Thoughts and prayers, yo.
Yep.
And so he went to the Blink 182 concert, which I can't look, I like Blink 182. They're not, I wouldn't put them in my top 10, but they have some good music.
Okay.
Okay. Kind of like Green Day. I abhor their politics, but their music I can get into, especially when I'm playing hockey. So he went to the Blink 182 concert and posted that he went to the Blink 182 concert, which apparently really upset super megastar with a WAP, Cardi B.
Yeah.
Who immediately took to Twitter to criticize Brian Zazz for going to the Blink 182 concert.
That's a great last name, though, for a character. Zazz.
Zazz. He's Zazzy. By the way, he also, in the meantime, had on social media, Zazz, had, quote, responded to an OnlyFans model's thirst trap. What the hell is a thirst trap?
I don't want to go into it on the show, Dave.
Can you give me a definition?
I'm going to have to give you an accurate one because I don't want to.
Because I don't know what that means. Sorry. I'm a 50-year-old uninspirational white guy qualified submariner. I have no clue what that means.
A thirst trap is a type of social media post that aims to elicit a viewer's attention through sexy or flirty photos. It refers to the viewer's thirst, which is a colloquialism likening sexual frustration to dehydration, implying desperation, with the afflicted individual being described as thirsty. There you go.
Ah. So he liked or commented on an OnlyFans thirst trap post at the same time that he posted the Blink 182 thing.
Yeah.
And this upset Cardi B, who once upon a time released a song, I'm not making this up, called WAP. Mm-hmm. Which stands for wet ass pussy. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever watched the video, well, I've seen pornos that aren't that explicit. So at any rate, so the rapper, is that what she is?
I have
who has
no
an
idea.
Album named Invasion of Privacy, decided to criticize someone for doing something she did not think he should be doing.
A non-public figure, no less.
Right. But who was stupid enough to post it on Twitter.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known who Brian Zazz was.
Mm-mm.
Thoughts and prayers, dude. So he tweets back, or as they say, as the kids say, he claps back. What a posh, trashy celeb. Cardi B trying to get clout off me and my family's suffering. I went to Blink 182 concert for coping rather than sitting at home and watching the news. Shame on you, Cardi. Get some class.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
And this is So, I mean, if the story ended right there, you'd go, well, people, what can you do? You know, I guess if you're a billionaire globalist, you could start culling the herd a little bit and be happy about it. But at any rate, she apparently has taken this to so one of the billionaires that's missing underwater on the submarine shit. One of the billionaires they steps on is at a concert, right? Blink 182 concert. Mm-hmm. People was like, God, this
is titillating, by the way. Yes. This is so titillating.
Well, you know what?
WTF, man.
It's like you look at this, you can't possibly make this up. You just can't.
If only people were honest nowadays, Dave.
So this submarine with holes drilled in the pressure hull collapses. And Cardi B.
Shish,
Cardi
boom,
B, who has an album named Invasion of Privacy,
mm-hmm.
takes to social media to criticize the stepson, who, by the way, is now going to be quite wealthy, I would think.
Well, assuming he was in the will. I mean, he's stepson, right? Stepson doesn't mean anything.
Let's just say that he was.
All right, sure.
If I'm the stepson, and I am, you know what I do? I buy out all the tickets to her next, I don't know, 3 or 4 concerts. All of them. I buy them out.
And have nobody show
nobody
up.
Nobody show up. Because that's the kind of thing that would make you say,
WTF?
Has survived.
It has. It actually sounds better.
I wasn't expecting it to. I really wasn't. I'm having a hard time breathing, and my wife is texting me. And
clean the pipes out there, Dave. I mean, it's...
You know what it is? It's coffee, man. Coffee is the wonder drug.
Well, and dark humor. Dark humor will do it as well.
You know what's really weird is when I was on the submarine, I didn't drink coffee.
I see. I like my coffee black. I like my dark humor blacker.
I drank Coca-Cola. That's what I drank.
Did you?
I didn't drink coffee, and nor did I drink alcohol when I was on the submarine, which was weird,
because
now I do both, to excess and sometimes.
Yeah, well, cheers.
Yeah, but I had this thing, and I get this from my grandmother. My grandmother, of blessed memory, had to have her cups full of ice. I mean, this whole thing with just a little bit of ice in it, no, I can't
hate
do
that.
Yeah. And she had these aluminum cups. These aluminum, tall aluminum tumblers, mm-hmm. you put the ice in it and the cup would condensate and sweat and
put the
Coca-Cola over that. And it was so good. And I had this thing about I had to have ice and everything. And of course, on my first patrol, first time I'm going underwater, the ice machine breaks.
Oh,
and we have no ice for the entire patrol.
That's tragic.
And I don't drink coffee. I only drink Coca-Cola. I didn't even drink water back then. I drank Coca-Cola. Of course, that could be part of the problem later on. But
at any
rate, it was quite the adventure. And John Baronello used to try to use a machinist mate, Agar, was always trying to fix the ice machine. And he would get his head in there and got his head stuck inside the ice machine at one point. And I would stand there. And keep in mind, I'm a third-class, uninspirational non-qual.
Yeah.
Technically, I'm not even a qualified submariner yet. And I would stand there with my cup going, is it fixed yet? Is it fixed yet? Give me the damn ice! Which was just sad.
Gotta have ice,
The next patrol I went on, I made sure to take an ice tray.
So you could make your own,
Don't know, that's how you make your own ice. And so if the ice machine broke, I would not be left high and dry.
Yeah.
I would take it and I would fill it and I would put it in the ship's freezer and come back an hour later and get my ice. Because the ice machine never freaking worked, man. It was like, what the hell? Like watching John
of the Ice Maker.
So I figured we'd close with some soccer again.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I heard an interesting discussion about this, and we've long had this conversation here.
Okay.
About the name of the game.
Football.
No, it should not be called football. Because foot is singular. It should be called feetball.
Feetball.
The Washington Post.
Except for the fact that you can't kick it with both feet at the same time. So it's really...
You can't, like, but I've seen Pele do it.
Okay.
Whoa!
It doesn't happen very often.
Not survivors on that one, are there?
Well,
imploded Ron.
It's better than... feetball is better than the name for American football, because it's really not football. It's only football and punts and kickoffs. That's it.
Extra points and field goals.
Yeah, well.
And by the way, it's legal to kick the ball. You just can't kick it forward. You didn't know that, did you?
Never seen anyone kick it backward.
I've seen punters kick it out of the end zone all the time. When they drop the ball or whatever, they kick it out, take a safety. And at any rate, the Washington Post ran an article this week. Mm-hmm. That has caused some stirring amongst the football world.
Yes.
The headline of which read, and I quote, keep in mind, this is the Washington Post, Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Why doesn't Argentina have more black players in the World Cup? Unquote.
Yeah.
Much like Cardi B is upset about a Blink-182 concert, the Washington Post has decided to insert itself into the sports questions of Argentina. Yeah. I've never been to Argentina, but...
But the internet corrected the statement.
Quickly. The internet, God bless them.
Yes.
Responded. And I quote, "Because we're a country, not a Disney film." Unquote.
Touché.
Imploding the Washington Post.
Oh, yeah.
And on that note, I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And this has been...
What the Frock?